Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Time to do this.
F-I-E-N-D-S. Jen's friends.
Just friends.
Well, today it's not Jen's friends. They're my friends, actually. And what a week it has been on the show. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I thought and I still think that Ents at 10 and 11 are probably the very best part of each day. But apart from that, we had some great texts and calls from listeners. And here with me now to look back over them are our very funny women, Julie J and Bláthnaid de Burka. Good morning, ladies.
Hi, Lottie.
How are we?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. It's great to have faces in front of me. You know, I'm still getting used to it. There is only one place where we can start. And it's disgusting. Yesterday, Jen talked to a load of people who found gross things in weird places. Bláthnaid, talk to me about the poo transporter in your life.
Okay, thank you very much for saying talk to me about the poo transporter. I want to make it very clear. I am not the poo transporter.
You're sure?
I am absolutely positive.
Okay.
I used to live with a guy. We are not friends anymore, so I don't mind telling this story even more than I usually would. Not mind telling this story. I don't remember the reason why, but he did transport a poo in his hands, in his bare hands, through his office. I think he was basically, the flusher wasn't working in the toilet that he had gone in, and he didn't want the next like there was only one cubicle, so we wanted to move it to the other cubicle, which meant going through the office.
I have so many questions.
I know.
There's so much to unpack there.
Was it his own poo?
It was his, of course it was his own poo. Why would you would you move someone else's poo?
Why bare hands?
I don't know. I think he panicked, which is a weird, this, you see, that's what's weird to me. I'm surprised that he was even embarrassed at the idea of the poo being left there in the first place, because there was also another time, because when I lived with him, one time I came home from work and he was on a first date. They'd been drinking all day, and I came home and he was showing this guy a slideshow of his poo.
What?
So okay. I don't really know what made him so embarrassed to leave a poo in the office toilet when,
hey,
like, literally
on
a first date.
Rewind. Who puts together think about the process
of
this.
I'm
the
not
slideshow.
Sure. It wasn't really, like, I think it was a live action that he was making. You know, he's just going through his phone and finding the poo.
So
photos.
Wait, so he is consciously, after he goes to the toilet, taking out his phone and saying, oh, that's a good one, let's
100%.
Get a picky.
To the point where I actually got, like, if I had a good poo, I would take a picture and send it to him. He loves
no,
it.
Yeah.
Okay,
it.
This is called enabling. This is called enabling.
I am a very good friend when it comes to being an addict of any kind, to be honest.
I have no words for that. That's horrific.
I mean,
it's really horrific. I thought, I have had a situation where a human pooed on my car bonnet.
What? But how
Lottie,
even,
come on, that was one time and I said sorry. You keep
Julie?
Bringing this up.
I do actually keep bringing this up because I was traumatised by this incident. But they'd been on a night out, obviously.
How does one even mount?
This guy crawled up on my bonnet. He pulled down his pants and he took a giant human dump on my bonnet of my car. I had to watch him do it. And get into my car with a human poo on the bonnet and drive my car through the city centre. I cried the whole way because I saw people looking and they knew it was a human one.
But now I am the one with the questions. Why did you watch this happen and not put an end to it?
Because he had clearly had been on a night out. And I thought it was safer to just let him do his business.
Him do the poo.
And I went to the car wash. And it took a couple of goes because it was stuck in the grates of the front of the car.
Oh my, okay. That actually, I have a very strong stomach and that actually moved it a little bit.
But to be fair, you're not going to interrupt a man doing a poo in your car bonnet.
I mean,
like, if we take nothing else away from this radio show today.
Some things are sacred.
That is the life lesson.
Some things are sacred, yeah. And a poo on a car bonnet is one of them. That actually reminds me of Vogue Williams' story as well. You know, Vogue Williams. There was a taxi driver that thought she was late for him, so he took a poo on her doorstep. Yeah.
What?
I listen to her podcast, that's why I know that. Sorry.
No, you mean you only listen to the Jennifer
Zambrelli
show?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Is it true you actually found something weird in your own home, though?
I wouldn't call it weird, especially since, so it was a dildo, and that wouldn't be weird because I have, first of all, I'm a sexually open woman living alone and I'm single, so finding a dildo is fine. But it wasn't my dildo.
What?
So that's the thing. Yeah, and that was another flatmate that I lived with, another gay man. And so it was left over from his time there.
He just left it out?
He didn't leave it out. I think he had cleared out his room, but he had done it in a hurry.
But I think you need to take your dildo with you. Like, yeah. it's kind of like the rule about clearing out the freezer before you go. Mm-hmm. It's like you do, that's just, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe the most disgusting thing, I don't know if I found anything that disgusting in my house, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you used to be a teacher, so you must have found some fairly...
I used to be a teacher back in the day, and like you would occasionally be correcting a copy and you'd think to yourself, is that snot? I really hope not. But we're too invested now. Like, I think in terms of, I wouldn't say gross, but maybe the thing that horrified me most that I ever found in my gaff was when I was pregnant, I had gestational diabetes, so I couldn't eat any of the nice stuff. And I was putting a wash on one day and I went through Fred, my husband, I went through his pockets and I found all these Supermax wrappers.
Oh no.
And Supermax receipts. And I just said to myself, do you know what, Fred? I would have preferred to find a receipt for a lap dancing club. Like, I cannot believe you have been cheating on me with Supermax this whole time.
Very true.
Just so horrified.
You were hurt.
And then another time. Oh, actually, well, I do have one. I remember I stayed in an Airbnb years ago. Back in the day, and myself, and I don't know what happened, but myself and the Airbnb host, we just weren't vibing from the get-go. And then I went into the room and I opened up the bedside locker and there was a used condom in the bedside locker.
Absolutely horrific.
Then I went downstairs and it was like kind of above a pub. So I went downstairs and I said to the lady, I'm really sorry. Because of course I'm apologising because that makes so much sense.
Of course, yeah.
I'm really sorry, but I'm after finding a used condom in the bedside locker. And she was like, how do I know you didn't put it there yourself?
Oh my God. And also, why is it in the locker? Like, I mean, this is the thing. I found used condoms in my home. Again, those were mine, so I could explain them. But, you know, why would you ever open a drawer?
I don't know.
And put it in there?
Because even, you know, the whole of the lady in question, when she was saying, how do I know you didn't put it there yourself? Like, basically, the inference was that I'm just going around the country with a used condom in my handbag, looking for discounts. Like, dropping it into my ghost cheese salad. Looking for freebie. There was a knot.
Okay, I'm starting to think that she did.
No, listen, guys, we're going to move on. This is getting too detailed for me. On Tuesday, Jen was all over this big story of the day about the travelator at Dublin Airport being actually slower than walking through the airport. Julie, what's your approach to airport travel?
Well, even before all the chaos with the airports during the summer, I've always been the kind of person, I like to give myself plenty of time.
Yes.
I like a dawdle. To such an extent, I probably am one of those people on the travelator who's kind of holding everyone else up. And actually, it's gas. The last time I was in Dublin Airport, I was on the travelator. And generally, my pace on a travelator is raindrops keep falling on my head.
Oh,
like, that's the pace I'm going at. And this, like, he couldn't have been more than three. This three-year-old storms past me saying, move. I'm like, where are you off to? I'm sorry, are you late for a business meeting?
That's like the exact reason why I shouldn't have children, because I would train them to tell people to move.
Well, I think I was just really affected by that scene in Home Alone when they're all running through the airport, and I just never want that to be me. So I'm always super early.
I am the person running on the travelator, because when I hear the word travelator, I think about gladiators.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm just like, yeah, travelator, move out of the way. I've no time for dawdlers.
Yeah, you see, me neither. Now, I don't mind if you step to the side and leave room to go around you, then that's fine. But there are people that take it up, and it actually is slower if you stop. It is slower than walking. And I'm from the city. I'm such a little city gal. Like, seriously, if someone says that they're from Blanchardstown, I'm like, that may as well be China to me. I live in the city centre, so I'm very much like, I'm a fast walker. So I'm the same with a travelator,
but it's
as
like
I am
the
with
Lewis.
A pass. Like, don't take it up. Like,
we all know we're going to be quicker walking than hopping on the Lewis, but we do it anyway.
Yeah, sometimes you just like a free ride.
The Lewis is free, as we all know. It's very the Twitter thing.
Another travel related thing that came up on Tuesday's show was e-scooters. Have either of you ever had a go on one?
They are witchcraft and wizardry, and I don't trust them.
Really?
Well, my sister has one. I have no coordination. I'm too pretty. And you can't have it all. This is it, exactly. And I don't drive. So I really just, I don't trust myself on one. My sister has one. She goes too fast on it. I give out to her for it.
Does she wear the correct gear? Does she wear the helmet, the elbow pads, knee pads?
So she doesn't wear the elbow pads or anything like that, which is funny because like when we go rollerblading, she does, but she won't on the scooter that goes 30 miles an hour. And I don't think they're even legislated for in the country. So like if you were to be in an accident, it would be like automatically your fault no matter what happened if you were on one of those.
Yeah.
So I'm just like frightened of them, to be honest.
I'm terrified of them.
Yeah, I kind of don't. Even hearing the term e-scooter, I feel like I need to put vape juice in it. It's like, what is this? Like anytime I see someone on an e-scooter, all I can hear is that song. Do you remember Back to the Future, that scene with Michael J. Fox on the skateboard?
Yeah.
The power of love. Yeah. Like, it's just going through my head every time I see someone scooting around. And I mean, are you on the footpath? Are you on the road?
No, like, you should be on the road. Like, no. You'd be in the cycle path. But that's another thing is like the roads are so bad. I am a cyclist and the roads are so bad for cyclists, both because of, you know, people being mean to us and then also like the, you know, potholes and everything. Potholes are so bad that if you're going down that, going 90 on a scooter or going 30 on a scooter, as it were, like you would go flying.
Well, you just wouldn't trust myself on a scooter. Like I once dislocated my shoulder putting my coat on. So I've no business on a scooter.
Yeah, and my husband keeps saying to me that he wants to get one, and you know, if he's listening, this is the last time I'm saying no.
It's just not happening. And now Julia and I are saying no.
Thank you.
Although they do seem pretty, like they're a good way to get around.
No, nothing positive. Nothing positive. We don't need to be balanced on that one. Sorry. Jen was playing clips on Monday of Talented Cats, and we had one with a Cork accent and one with a Northern Irish accent. Now, you both have unusual cats.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I have two black cats and they're both named Blowjob in different languages.
Stop. So. Say it for me.
Yeah. Pompino, which is the Italian word for blowjob. And then Peep. So her name is Peep, as in the French word pipe, like P-I-P-E, Peep, as in blowing pipe, as in blowjob. Yeah.
I have a funny story about that, actually. So I know somebody called Pippa,
yeah,
and she was in Italy and was going around saying Pippa to all the lads.
No.
Yes, yeah.
And they all thought she was just offering blowjobs.
That is what. Yeah, you see, because yeah, Pippa, like,
and we had to pull
her
aside and say, "You're gonna have to stop that because
you're gonna have to change your name."
They all think you've just offered sexual favors.
Yeah,
that is
gas. So, but like people, because I'm online. I'm an online presence, and like when I say that my cat's name is Pompino, Italians are always in the DMs being like, "Do you know what that is?" I'm like, "Oh yeah."
I love
that. Julie, what about yours?
Yeah. I have a cat, Molly. She's 21, 22.
Wow.
Yes, she's kind of deaf and blind now, the poor little thing.
So
but she's very, very cute. I don't really have her on the gram because I just want to respect her privacy.
Obviously.
If she is ever on my Instagram, it's like her face is pixelated out just so people can't recognise her.
Yeah.
She is great. Like, I was laughing because I lost her there before Christmas and I was absolutely devastated because she is so old, and because she's deaf and blind, like, she's really vulnerable. But it's gas because I put it up on Instagram, you know, kind of, if anyone's seen Molly, she's missing. And I got so many people messaging because obviously, obviously, you know, people are really supportive.
Yeah.
But then my auntie was like, what are you like? You have one neighbour who is a sheep farmer in his late 50s and there is not a hope that man is on Instagram and you're putting it out as a call to arms. But she did come back.
True.
So I put it out to the universe and she did come back.
She did
but
come
she's
back.
Great.
She found her way home.
Yeah. And she's old, but she does have the body of a kitten, which kind of makes me resent her a bit.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Bit.
Unfair.
Yeah, very unfair.
Look, we're feminists, of course. You know, we don't
feminists,
need to be superficial, but at the same
don't
time,
better than me.
How dare she? Yeah, you're a cat.
Julie J and Blind Burka, thank you so much for being my friends this week. Julie, tell me where people can see you live on stage and what you're going to be talking about.
Yes, so Oops, This Is Toxic is my new show. We sold out Edinburgh Fringe and Dublin
Fringe. Wow, congratulations.
Thanks so much. And we won the first fortnight as well, which is amazing.
Amazing.
That award. Well, so we're delighted with that. So I'm going to be in the Stole next week and I'm going to be in the Everyman in Cork on the 20th. I'm going to be in the Stole on the 14th of October as well. And it's basically a love letter to Britney Spears, but really it's an examination of naughty's misogyny But it is very funny. I should say that. Like, there's a lot of jokes. It's kind of like, I would describe it as comedy with a bit of an edge. So we're looking at Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake.
Nipplegate.
Paris. We have stuff about Paris Hilton in there. X Factor auditions. So it's very much a look back at the noughties. And we're using the Britney story to do that. And we love Britney.
Love it.
Team Britney all the way. So that's the 14th and the 20th.
A developing story as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I just think everyone's leaving feeling really pumped, which is great. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's lovely.
Yeah. Blaine, what about you?
I have a monthly show called Blah 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 with special guests. So we have a different topic every month. It's a comedy panel show about intersectional feminism, which doesn't sound funny, but it is. It is funny.
We believe you.
Yeah, thank you so much. If I say it one more time, like so we just take the, you know, big important topics and it's modelled around like a party at my house. You know the way you always solve all the world's problems at like 7 a.m. when you've been just drinking and nothing else. And so it's kind of that idea. It's Graham Norton meets the Guilty Feminist kind of thing. And I also host, I'm like booking and emceeing a weekly comedy night in All My Friends called All My Comedy. All My Friends is a new queer bar on Mead Street. Very exciting stuff. Last night was the second night. It's going really well.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds great, guys. Thanks so much for being my friends.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Lottie. I sound so pathetic.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.